Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
I am a proud Shunsui hater. I f***ing hate his guts, okay? He f***ing sucks. He really does. And he cheated in the Stark fight. It was bullshit. He was supposed to be a man of honor and not want to fight. Stark didn't want to fight. He backstabbed him. Fucking bitch, and I'll never forgive him. That being said, I really like Shunsui so far in Thousand Year Blood War. Yeah. Welcome to Bleach Boys. Thousand Year Blood War Core 2 is officially on the way, or it's out, I guess, is the correct way to put that.
Yep.
It was amazing.
I was really happy.
Absolutely good. I think they did a fantastic job for first episode to a season two. I have to say, instantly spoiler, the opening and the closing are instantly better than season one.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Absolutely.
Not just the visuals, but the song itself. I was like, oh, I'm vibing.
The visuals were insane. I think season one, they played it really safe with the opening.
They were like trying to be like, hey, remember these guys? Yeah, let's introduce them.
It was artsy, you know, they did a thing. And then season two was like classic.
Yeah.
Like, it reminded me a lot of the New York opening that they had previously in Bleach. I think it was the ending.
Was it? Yeah, it's the ending because it had the visors in it.
Yeah, that was what this reminded me of. And I was like, damn, this is good, fun Bleach. And there was a fuck ton of Easter eggs inside.
Oh, my
God.
Right away.
And I was surprised because all day I had to fucking work today while this was being released, which was a little bit like torture. But all day people were posting screen caps from the opening and all this stuff. And I thought for sure they were going to show all those characters way longer, but some of the characters were on screen for a split second. It was like, damn, that is a fast opening. They were not fucking around. They're like, we have, let's say, a solid 50 Bleach characters that everybody likes. Ready, go. And it just starts fucking going.
Yeah, they just went through them so quick.
Yeah. But the animation, even the opening, was amazing. Really fucking good. Love the Uryu and the fucking Ichigo stuff.
Yeah.
10 out of 10.
Oh, the Kenpachi on the bridge.
Yes. So good. And then the Rukia part with the fire extinguisher, where she sprays it and she turns partially ice.
So her hair was covered in ice. I was like, spoiler, maybe, perhaps.
See, this is how you do a tasteful, like, opening. There's plenty of references to stuff that's gonna happen later, but only if you know.
The foreshadowing is there. You just gotta really dissect it and
take it apart. Slapping you in the face with a fucking Acme hammer and like, oh, you see that? You see that?
Uryu's talking to fucking Yugram.
This is a little nudges right there. It's like just a little bit of a taste of what's to come later. I loved it. I think the opening is better than the ending, but I still think the ending is good.
Yeah, the ending was it was fine, but I agree. The opening was a lot better.
I got to say, I wrote down in my notes, this feels like a Bleach opening.
Yep. The other one did not. Season one, I feel like the opening and the ending did not feel like a Bleach ending. It felt like your generic run-of-the-mill anime opening and ending. These, both of them, felt like, damn, that's a Bleach ending right there. That's a Bleach opening also. It's like, that's some good shit. I think the ending, in terms of a song, I remember when I was listening to it right at the end of the episode, I was like, it was good, you know, but I don't think the Bleach ending I would ever listen to outside of Bleach. The opening, yes, I think the opening's a banger, but I don't think the ending I would ever listen to outside of Bleach.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But it's still good in terms of Bleach. It's just not good as in I would put it on my iPod and, you know, play it in high school, you know, that sort of thing. So let's kick it off with some thoughts about episode one. Before we begin, we're doing a giveaway. I teased it last episode. I showed off all the Anime Expo merch, which we have multiple Anime Expo videos up at this point. I talked about the Bleach panel and the Bleach Boys special for Anime Expo, where we recapped all the news and all the announcements from that, which was really cool. Last special episode, if you haven't seen it. And then I put up a video talking about how I was scammed out of a fucking ticket from Rita. That video is up as well. So watch either of those. We should talk about the merch. There's all kinds of cool comments and stuff. But let me grab it here. So I figure we'll give them out in sets. So I have a whole bunch of these badges and a whole bunch of these posters here. If you guys are listening, it's the classic key visual for Core 2 and a Substitute Soul Reaper iron-on badge. if you want to win these, we're going to give them out all over the place. So I'm going to, when this video drops, I'll tweet the video. I will probably post the clip on Instagram about the video. Comment, retweet that. Even better yet, rethread if you want a good one.
Oh, join
Threads,
right, thread.
And follow us on Threads. That's the new social media. If you like it, heart it, do any sort of interaction on our Threads, I will enter you in to win one, and you will get either – you will get a poster and a badge sent to you. You get one of each. So if you'd like to win it, you can win one off of YouTube, one off of Twitter, one off the Threads, and one off of Instagram. So make sure you have us followed in all those places, and we'll pick some people at random here. It'll be open for about a week till the next episode drops, and I'll pick somebody, and we'll sort it out, which Jose and Pythes – well, Jose has them. Pythes doesn't even have these yet. So you'll instantly be cooler than Pythes.
Oh, see, boy.
All right. Episode one. Here we go. The very first scene is the birth of Yuha Baha.
I thought it was funny because you did review it early last, earlier in the week, I guess.
Yep.
And I was just like, it's exactly what I pictured.
Yeah. That is the Anime Expo scene, the very first one they showed. And they hard cut it, which is funny, right when he opens his eyes, which is when the opening would have played.
Mm-hmm.
That's when they cut it. That was the first clip that we got at Anime Expo. I was tweeting about it when it was happening. I mean, it's to be expected, all the sperm and all the hands and them chanting, you, I was like, damn, like that's beautiful, 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 beautiful. I think they knocked it out of the fucking park. I liked it even better when I was listening into my headphones, but it was good. We already talked plenty about the opening. I'm going to pass that. A couple of things that I didn't mention, though. Yodoichi and Urahara present in the opening, which I have to give a special shout out to.
Hanging underneath the bridge.
We love them. We love them. And then we go to the actual start of episode one here, where we get Ichibe and Ichigo talking about how Soul Society is weak. Obviously, you know, we've heard this said a million times. The Thousand Year War made Soul Society weak, and Squad Zero believes that as well. And I did like that Ichigo calls out Squad Zero. I was like, well, you guys were just watching.
Ichibe hits him with the, it's my job to watch.
Yeah,
or he's like, our job.
It's our job to watch, so shut the fuck up. It's like, no. It's like, you guys get a fucking come. Because you really do think about it. If they had the Yama gang fight happening, and then Ichibe just came in and was like, erase. It was like, all right, well, GG, thank you. But instead, they're playing too many games, trying to watch this fight, be fucking perverts. Then we go to the Stern Ritters here, where they are in the Sealburn, which is the cathedral, which they ever so nicely subtitled on the bottom there. And we get to see our first look at the Royal Guard, which is our Valkyrie guy that I can never remember the name of.
The big Thor dude, Jarl.
Okay, let's test the knowledge here. The Sniper guy that I can never remember the name of.
Lyle.
Lidaro.
Okay.
Was it?
We have two different names that we have just been speaking.
I thought his name
here.
Was Lyle this whole time.
Is it Lyle or is it Lidaro? Who is it?
I always called him Lily Barrow.
Lily Barrow. Totally
that, okay.
So
yeah,
I think Jose was partially right. And I think, well, you're 100% right, Pythes. As always, of course, we love you. And then we see
I love you
the.
Too, Sam.
Thank you, Pythes. And then we see the, what is it, the Hand of the Soul King? Is that the
Pernida,
one?
Pernida, I think.
Pernida.
Pernida.
Pernida. So we see them three first, which I thought was very cool. And then, of course, Yugram is up there with no cool icon on his cloak, which I thought was bullshit.
I know. The boy just gets shafted over here.
He gets not announced to be the successor. He gets no cool icon on his cloak, and he's just standing there like a bitch. Maybe Yugram pissed off Yuha Baha in a later scene or like an earlier scene. He's like, I'm going to embarrass the fuck out of this guy. I'm just going to fucking embarrass him.
I'll have you up here. Yeah. But know that nothing's going to happen.
Yeah. It's like everybody thinks this guy is it. I'm about to ruin his fucking life. Which is exactly what happens, by the way. So we go on to talk about how they survived the Soul Reaper attack by hiding inside the Schattenbreich for 1,000 years. And Uryu Ishida is announced as the last surviving Quincy in the world. Which, I have a question. What about Ryukin? And what about his grandpa? Obviously, the grandpa's dead at this point. But those two are both Quincys, are they not?
Yeah, but fuck them.
Yeah, like what the fuck?
I love that. You're
I feel
like
Yuha Baha is one of those guys where he was probably so intensely hating on the Soul Reapers and like focused all of his fucking attention on the Soul Reapers, he forgot to look further than Uryu. He saw Uryu, was like,
all right, that's it.
That's the last guy.
That's it.
It has to be the last guy. I killed everybody else. And he's like, no, actually, there's a couple of other that survived also, but one fucking got tortured by Soul Reapers after your time. And then the other is just a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Just didn't bother to look. Like, maybe like, oh, if Uryu's alive, what about everybody else? And even in one of the scenes, Uryu is like, I always wonder why my mom died and not me. Well, maybe
what about your dad?
Is your dad a Stern Ritter or a Quincy? Are we going to double check that? Nah, fuck it. Yuhaba's like, good enough with Uryu. Good enough. What if Ryukin wanted to be the successor?
It's because it's friends with his son in the dark.
Yeah, I think that's probably what it is. He saw how cool Ichigo was with the Soul Reapers. He wanted to recruit Uryu.
Yep, yep. He's like that guy must be cool.
Way I always interpreted it is because Uryu's mom was a half-blood, that makes Uryu a half-blood as well, and as a half-blood, he survived the Ashwallen.
So it just proves that he's a bit stronger?
Yeah, it proves that there's something special about him.
What, that he's a fucking mudblood or whatever the fuck is it? Mugblood?
Mudblood, yeah.
That's ridiculous.
We'll go with mudblood.
That's ridiculous. And it's like, so he's like, yeah, I'm going to make you the leader of all the pure-born races because you're mudblood. It's like, excuse me? It's like our whole thing.
Voldemort with the mudblood.
Okay, all right. You're making a lot of sense here. These Harry Potter references are really doing it.
I read the books, bro.
So then we get, which I thought was very exciting for everybody here at this table, the Bambi scene is actually in the anime.
Yeah.
We talked about it previously.
I'm still mad we didn't get Rukia booty, but at least we got plenty of Bambi cleavage.
Bambi scene is in the anime. The guy was blushing to be picked.
I do like how she walks down. She's like, you. You're on.
Yep. And they tell her that she has a bad urge to kill hotties whenever she gets pissed. That's just how she takes it out. Which, Pythes, I guess you're safe then.
Huh? Yep.
Damn.
Sorry, Pythes.
Damn.
Sorry.
I agree.
Okay, well, it's not funny when you agree.
No, it's Pythes. Okay. Pythes, you would get selected. I know.
No, I wouldn't.
And then we see Basby. I like how all of the Stern Ritters are hanging out together.
I didn't know they actually hung out.
I feel like that was one of the things that the Espada didn't really do. They met at the table, but I think after the table, they were like, dog eat dog. Like, fuck everybody. This one is much more of like a military uniform where they're like in the same band together. You know, they're in the same company. And they're like, yeah, it's like, why isn't everybody fucking pissed off? Meanwhile, the Espada's be like, fuck it, I'm going to go kill that guy. And then they'd be like, all right, every man for himself.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get to that when we get to my notes.
Okay.
And then we get the Basby being pissed over Uryu. He wants to fight Yugram, which Yugram actually wants to fight as well.
I was surprised.
Yeah, stopped by Asken. So, I think it's the first appearance of Asken, unless we saw him for a brief scene.
They show him, like, right before that, and then
okay, all right. And then we get the scene, which was also shown at Anime Expo, which is Uryu and Yuhabaha basically discussing why Uryu was chosen as a successor. And this is where we get the anime-only scene of Uryu with the crosses when he was a child. That was purely anime-only, something that was added for the series. And they talk about how he's the only Quincy to ever survive the Ashwallen. And that's what we were talking about earlier. He wonders why his mother died, and he always wondered what was written in his grandpa's diary, which now that I'm saying out loud, Uryu literally told him that his grandpa survived also. Fucking stupid ass Yuhabaha. And then Uryu also, Yuhabaha is talking to him, and Uryu is like, well, your words really confirm that Soul Reapers and Quincy's can never get along. And then Uryu has severed all of his ties to be here to bury the Soul Reapers. And he's granted with a shrift. I don't know how you would say that, but it's
shrift
A, which is the same as Yuhabaha, which now we, if this was the OG Stern Renders, there'd be two fucking Y's running around and two fucking A's running around.
Yup.
So he needs to fucking get it all in order. What's the point of using the alphabet if you're going to double up?
So Yuha, right? He was technically dead for however long, right?
Sure, yeah.
Do you think at some point he absorbed a little bit of, you know, some Bram Stoker's Dracula? Because, you know, he does that fucking blood shit, makes him drink it and all that stuff.
So, to put this in Bleach Universe terms, Jose, I think you're asking at some point, did he absorb a little bit of blood of Jin Karya? Because that is the true Dracula of the Bleach universe. And to that answer, Jose, I would say there's a good possibility he did. Because if you remember in the Bout arc, Jin Karya is actually based off of a Soul Reaper that actually existed. And that's how they made a lot of the modified souls, which later became to be Bounts. So there's a good chance that he could have interacted with the OG Jin Karya. So I think you're onto something there, Jose. I knew you were a big Bount fan.
There we go.
You know what? I can add to that.
All right, go ahead.
Just to further the connection, what did Uryu dress up for as Halloween?
Oh, my God. He Vampire. Totally did.
Vampire. Yeah. The case is solved. The Bounce, probably. I mean, honestly, the Bounce had a very similar backstory to what the Quincy's did. They both got slaughtered and chased down by the Soul Reapers. So there's no reason why maybe they weren't exchanging a little bit of info at some point.
They're best friends.
There you go. Let's call it. They're fucking best friends.
The last
baby.
Surviving Bound was like, here you go, guys.
Yeah, and then at this point, we're halfway through the episode. I'm going to say this guy on Twitter. I'll call him my friend on Twitter. His name, I'm going to try and pronounce it, Bahamik Talwar. He translated the Eye Catchers. So ooh. I don't know if you guys saw the Eye Catchers. Two of them. One is talking about the origin of Yuhabaha, and then the other has all of the Stern Raiders talking about the Shrift. It's a long one because I don't know if you saw how much Japanese text was on that. I don't know how you were expected to read it in 1 second if you're watching on TV. But here we go. The first eye catcher, which has to do with Yuhabaha's birth, is titled The Child of Genesis. And it goes, the infant was born without the five senses and was unable to move. Without any means to survive, the only thing he possessed was the power to share his soul. Those who touched him were bestowed with a shared soul. Their emotional wounds, illnesses, injuries, and every affliction was healed. People treated him as a precious treasure. At the same time, the knowledge, abilities, and talents acquired by the people while their wounds were healing were etched into fragments of the infant's shared soul. When those individuals died, those fragments returned to him, healing him in turn. Having regained light, sound, and the freedom of movement, he realized that people called him by the name of the deity they worshipped. He decided to adopt that name as his own.
Ah, there we go.
Mm-hmm.
So a little, feel...
Go ahead.
I feel like I remember that being mentioned way later in the manga.
So that's what I saw a little bit of discussion on for the thread of the translation, which, by the way, shout out Bahamut Talwar. They were saying that that was mentioned later in the manga and that this could potentially mean one of two things. They are not going to cover it in the anime because now they basically use it as an eye catcher so they don't have to go over that stuff. Or potentially they'll add it later. You know, they'll go back around to make sure because it could potentially be this is how they're kind of getting rid of some of the lore dump. I don't know. We'll see because I can't imagine that this is how you're supposed to take all that information in, but it is in the anime. So it could potentially just be how they were getting that information across in terms of extra backstory.
And I think I remember in like early Attack on Titan, they would do that for how like the 3D gear worked.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. They would lore dump the fuck out of you in Attack on Titan. Every time that it came on, it was like a diagram. This is how it works. This is how it works.
The
like
breakdown of it. It was where incredible. The air goes in.
So it is very likely they do a similar thing. And you are just expected to read this. If you want to know, like, if you want to go further than what is going to be presented into the anime, you got to read these.
If you care about the lore, pause. If not, don't worry about it.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. It ain't gonna hurt you. Then let's move to the second one. Shrift. This says, among Stern Ritters, Shrift refers to the collective term for special abilities granted exclusively to the selected Quincy by Yuhabaha. By incorporating Yuhabaha's blood into their bodies, unique abilities that align with the traits of each Quincy manifest. The Shrift corresponds to the initials of the name that symbolizes the special ability. There are rumors of Stern Ritters like Shaz Domino who possess unique abilities even though their Shrifts are unknown or they were not given a Shrift by Yuhabaha.
This is true.
That's it. That's perfect. The second. So I guess remind me, because I don't remember, I don't know about you, Jose, who is Shaz Domino?
He's one of the guys that was attacking the 12th Division. He had those daggers.
Oh, early on in the last season, right?
Yeah. So I don't believe this dude ever comes back up again. So I'll just tell you, he's a dude created by Grimmie. He's not real.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, that's
interesting.
Cool.
Okay.
And at some point he was just like, hey, Yuha, this dude's cool. Can you give him a Shrift? And he goes, yeah, whatever. Your Shrift is Sigma or whatever.
Okay. I guess that works. Yuha Baha is just an easy breezy kind of guy. That's all. Then we go back to the episode. We do Hueco Mundo, which is what I think where everybody wants to see more of, really. Hueco Mundo gang. Urahara is doing some testing on one of the Quincy devices. I believe it's the Bankai sealing devices that he's testing. And then we see Orihime and Chatter at Neagle Ruin. And Urahara is monitoring them through something called Pero. And they're there to train with some sort of mysterious figure right behind them.
Some hooded, cloaked figure.
This was mentioned at Anime Expo as well. We'll never know who it's going to be.
He might be a cool guy. I'm just saying.
I mean, you could see his pants. He's got some cool boots.
I don't think we should take any guesses.
Exactly. It's going to be a new character.
Simple-minded people will ever be able to figure out who that possibly is.
It's going to be Ganju.
Hey, let's go.
Hey, Ganju came out of nowhere.
Or Ganryu. He's going to finally make his way into the anime, the full-on anime.
No, it's Karya. It's actually Karya.
Yeah, it's Karya.
This is how it comes back all around. Well, we saw Karya die on screen, unfortunately. It would have to be the other Bount who I am currently drawing.
The Mohawk dude.
He shares a name with somebody else. I'm almost leaning towards Keigo.
No. Keigo's his friend. It's we had the meme, not my something.
Yeah, I can't remember his name. I'm a horrible...
Was it like Rin or something?
I don't know. I'm a horrible Bount fan. We'll come back to this. It'll come up, I'm sure.
Koga.
Yeah, not my
it's Koga. There you go.
Let's go.
It would have to be Koga. He's the one that's right. Maybe Ron Tao died. Koga went to Wakamundo, found Urahara, and that's where they're at. So speaking of other people that are there with Orihime and Chad, we have Donnachaka and Peshe, and later we find out Nell is also there with them.
I think it's hilarious that they're doing like yoga, fighting dances
just
on top of
hauling
each other.
Ass all over the place.
All over the place.
Then we quickly cut over to a shirtless Ichigo. We don't stay in Wakamuno very long, which the shirtless Ichigo is the last scene. Well, this whole part was so shown in MX, but it was a very long part. And this is Ichibei telling Ichigo that he must surpass that of a Soul Reaper, and even if he was to train his Zanpakuto as far as he can, he still will be just a regular Soul Reaper. And so he's going to take them to a sacred place that they can't enter without the permission of the Soul King, and this is a test to see if Ichigo is worthy of surpassing that of a Soul Reaper, which I believe this whole part is anime only. Is that correct?
I believe so, yeah.
Because I think from the parts that we already saw, we don't see Ichigo for a really long time in the manga, but I think this is kind of giving an explanation of like, hey, where the fuck is Ichigo? Here's what Ichigo's doing while everybody's getting fucked. He's trying to surpass it of a Soul Reaper. Shunsui makes an appearance, and I'm going to make a declaration now as I get to the Shunsui parts of this episode. I am a proud Shunsui hater. I fucking hate his guts, okay? He fucking sucks. He really does. And he cheated in the Stark fight. It was bullshit. He was supposed to be a man of honor and not want to fight. Stark didn't want to fight. He backstabbed him. Fucking bitch. And I'll never forgive him. That being said, I really like Shunsui so far in Thousand Year Blood War. Yeah.
I mean, he's pretty cool. I mean, are you at the part where he's talking to Nanao and he goes, oh, I really hope Ichigo's
yes,
okay.
Yes, yes. And like even the parts that we're going to get to later where he visits Ichigo's friends, he is legitimately a good guy.
Like, I like that bit at the end there, too.
Yeah, a good guy. Yeah. And just, like, he's thinking these things through and kind of crossing his I's or crossing his T's, dotting his I's. He's getting everything all sorted out, and he's really thinking about it, which was one of my complaints with the first invasion or, you know, let's say the 1.5 invasion because they already invaded and killed Sasakibe, and then they came back. They could have prepared better. And this one, I feel like Shunsui at this point is thinking, he's preparing, he's doing his proper things. I like him. I like him. I think he's a good captain commander so far. So Shunsui is talking to Nanao, as we mentioned, and he does make a little comment.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I need people to understand what kind of praise that is coming from Sam. I have had arguments with him for years about Shunsui.
He just sucks. Like, there's no other explanation that I can give you aside from Shunsui fucking sucks. And he's not a very redeemable character. And I think to the end, he is just a bum. Okay? He's the bum. And normally I like bum characters, which pisses me off even more. But he's just like, oh, I didn't want to do this. Oh, I'm going to get my eye shot out before I do anything. You fucking suck, Shunsui. Do something. And I like in this, he's doing something.
He hasn't called a captain's meeting yet.
Because now it's his responsibility.
Yeah, it's about fucking time he gets off his ass. So in the conversation with Shunsui and Nanao, he mentions, I wonder if, quote, that man is working in the best interest of the Soul Society. I assume he's talking about Ichibei.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah, because he mentioned that man is very crafty and he's not sure. And that's the part where he's wondering, I hope Ichigo's doing really well, which I was like, all right, you're earning a little bit of points there. And then we get something I did not think we would see ever, Shinji screen time in the anime. Shinji makes a call to Hiyori, which, oh my God, we get to see Lisa, we get to see Love, we get to see Hachi, we get all kinds of stuff here. They're still hanging out in their old warehouse, which they label as their outpost, quotes. They get a gift from Shinji and Mayuri, which their job is to go around and fix the real world. They are titled the, quote, fixing the fucking obnoxious rift between the world of the living and the Soul Society crew.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Which explains what they were all doing when they weren't there in their first invasion. They were hanging out in their little, quote, outpost, their old home where they were just having a fucking grand time. Then we go to Rukia and Renji, which I feel like they didn't do a lot of explaining on what exactly was happening here. So I'm going to toss this.
It kind of backtracks a little bit after that.
Oh, does it? Okay.
Yeah.
So Rukia and Renji are training, holding wooden swords facing each other. They're sweating. And I'm like, what the fuck is so hard about that? And Renji's like, oh, well, it's so hard to stand here and stare at you. But then we get the Ichibei kind of little bit flashback where he says that when they first entered the room, they could barely stand.
I
assume it's like a gravity chamber, like fucking Dragon Ball Z.
It's like a spiritual pressure.
Spiritual pressure thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and let me ask this. Is it the room that is set up to basically imitate the spiritual pressure so you can know to withstand it? Or were they getting crushed from Ichibei being close and being in Ichibei's presence?
I think it's the first.
Just the first.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I was a little confused on like what was happening. And then also I was thinking, you know, it could be construed as like they were just too weak to stand when he brought him here, just like as is, and now they're getting better. They did not touch base on that at all.
It's better explained in the manga.
Okay. All right. So Byakuya is recovered. They get the phone call, and Byakuya gets a special compliment of being the first to be in the hot spring for as long as he was. And I like that Byakuya is like, he's basically told like, hey, don't let the power go to your head, you know, but like you were in there a long time. And Byakuya's like, oh no. It's like, I know how weak
he's
I am
like,
now.
Trust me, I am shit right yeah. now.
But he's like, I need to get the power strong enough to go to my head. And I was like, damn, yeah. Byakuya. That's why he's the goat dog. Byakuya, calm, cool, collected. He does his shit. He knows what to do. He doesn't fuck around. I love Byakuya. I've always loved Byakuya. I'm like a Shunsui. Fuck that guy. So this is where we get the part with Ichibe. We already covered it. He basically invites him to go train with him in the back room, which is a little bit porn star-esque. So I don't know about that one.
Here, fill out this paperwork. Tell me what you like,
yeah, so
what you don't like.
Come to the back couch over here real quick. If you just jot down your age, information, show
Make
your
sure,
ID to the camera,
show me the
please.
ID, yep.
Ichibe seems like that kind of guy as well.
Hey, let's get in this taxi real quick.
Don't mind the GoPro set up all over. It's like, and it's cool if you don't have money. We'll figure it out later. It's all good. So I wrote for the next part, holy shit, Ichigo's OG friends. I forgot they ever made an appearance again. I don't remember seeing him.
No, we definitely see Keigo, Totsuki, and what's the other one's name?
Mizuhiro. It's something
Mizuhiro?
Weird pronunciation.
Yeah.
Pronunciation. Mizuhiro. Mizuhiro? I don't fucking know. But we see.
Call him Mizuhiro.
Mizuhiro. We see the three friends, the OGs, the left outs, the people who got no respect. Poor Totsuki, which she was wasted fucking potential. Mm-hmm. She was all set up
she
to be able to
badass.
Do something, and she never gets anything. Keigo, same thing. Same thing. He's clearly shown that he can fucking see these people. And here is my question, and I hope you have an answer, Pythi.
Yep.
Mizuhiro, how mm-hmm. does he know Shunsui?
Don't know.
Okay.
There we go.
Interesting. Interesting. Because he said that, and I was like, what? Like, how?
He's
how?
Like, yeah, he told him, he's like, you're eighth captain of the court guards, right?
Captain of squad 8? Yeah. And I was like, the fuck does he know that? Which is crazy shit if he's somehow gathering information like that. But I thought that was incredible.
Is it safe to assume that Urahara probably just gave him the lowdown?
I'm assuming because, I mean, they were around when Aizen was doing his shit.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, they saw Aizen.
This isn't just something they can easily move from their minds because they all have strong spiritual pressure. I assume someone came through and gave them the lowdown on what happened.
Okay. We'll assume off screen somebody gave him a little pep talk and was like, yeah, that guy over there, Captain Squad 8. And he's like, oh, yeah, I remember that. No problem. I have a good memory. But Shunsui approaches them to tell them that they need to say goodbye to Ichigo. And Shunsui is basically worried about – he informs them that he's in a very special place even within the Soul Society, and he's training currently, and he's there to protect the Soul Society. And everybody's like, oh, cool, awesome, you know? But then he says, but I am just worried with what kind of power Ichigo is going to come back with. And depending on the power he does come back with, it might affect the world of the living too much, and because of that, he might not be able to let him come back. And that's the point when all the friends start freaking out. And – this is where I love Shunsui, because I was like, that is such a bro move to even go out of your way to let him know that.
Just
like,
let him know your best friend might not come back from this normal.
Yeah, they touch back on it in a second that we're going to talk about where how small of a chance it is. But he didn't need to. He could have kept doing his own thing, but he went out of his way, head captain, okay, went to the real world and was like, hey, I know you guys are close to Ichigo. There's a small chance that, like, if he becomes, like, let's say, who knows, because like too powerful, whatever, that we can't let him come back. Like, even if we put the 20% restriction on him, it's going to be too much. And they freak out. Like, what the fuck is your problem? How could you say that? And this is where he goes on a little bit further. And once again, Mizuhiro just comes in with all the fucking correct questions. And he's like, well, what's the likelihood of that actually happening? He's like, it's a 1 in 10,000 chance. But if something like that happened and I kept you guys in the dark, that wouldn't be doing right by Ichigo, even if it's that small of a chance.
Damn, what a bro.
Yes. And then he gives them a soul pass, which if they use the soul pass, they can come visit Ichigo whenever they want.
I thought that was super cool.
So
I was like, what a nice
cool.
guy.
So cool. And that's why I'm just saying, it was such a good conversation. I liked seeing all of the OG friends again. Shunsui handled it so well. He wasn't an asshole about it. I like that Shunsui didn't like let him beat him up or something, but he was like, hey, I just like want to do you guys the courtesy of saying there's a small chance, so please say bye to Ichigo. And if it does happen, you guys are welcome to come visit.
Yeah.
I was like, that is fucking cool. Just a class act all the way from Shunsui. Asterisk. Scroll down the rest of the page. I still fucking hate him. But class act, dog. I'll never forgive him for what he did to Stark.
Now, here's the question.
Yeah.
Was this mercy, or did he just give them those passes so they can go grind more orbs for him in BBS?
Nah.
Interesting. We'll never know. Maybe when Hell Arc comes out, we'll find them. I hope, one of my hopes and dreams for Hell Arc, and I don't think it's going to happen. I think we're too far gone. I wish Totsuki would be redeemed in some way. I think she is like the biggest waste of potential that we've seen in Bleach.
I mean, she got a huge push originally and then was mentioned multiple times after that during the Wekobundo arc.
It's just almost like she got forgotten. And I'm sure that happens when you're judging.
When he's got like
so many characters,
70 characters.
Like just the Soul Society has so many characters introduced all at once. Then he introduced a whole basically counterpart of Wekomundo all the same part. Didn't kill all of them off. A lot of them are still alive. And then he's doing it a third time with the Stern Ritters and all the Quincy's. And it's got so many characters for each side, a whole fucking alphabet, where it's just like, that is exhausting. Imagine juggling, and you have to get in a writer's mind like Kubo, where he has to remember the personalities, what they would think in this situation, how they would handle this for every single one of those characters. That is exhausting.
Okay, so here's some lore. Originally, the Substitute Soul Reaper arc was going to last a lot longer and cover all of Ichigo's friends. But his editor told him, speed that shit up, get the Soul Reapers, go to Soul Society now.
I mean, it makes sense. It was a little repetitive for a while.
I have to say, I made a tweet a while back because I feel like, and I will say it on the podcast, the Fullbring, Substitute Soul Reaper arc, whatever that fucking thing was called, was too long. Okay? It was too long. And I think people are looking back at it with rose-tinted glasses. And I see a lot of it on the social medias that people are like, yeah, I don't know why everybody was so mad about the Fullbringer arc because it was so good. It wasn't. It wasn't so good. It sucked. It was slow. All of the characters were not interesting except for Genjo and Tsukishima. I don't know why we like any of the other characters. They're just fucking rehashes of all the ones that we already have. They did not need to be necessary. Waste of time. It could have been super quick, one and done. I felt like it ruined the ending of the anime. Garbage. But I think he should be allowed to do what he wants to do. I don't think Kubo should have been rushed to go through that. But... the Soul Reapers are where it's at, okay? That's why we won't fucking get in this anime. Ichigo's cool and all that stuff, but Orihime and Chad, bleh.
Sam, yes, when I say substitute arc, I mean the beginning of the series.
Okay, that arc's great. That arc is great, great. But I got criticism of that too. And Jose can back me up on this because his girlfriend couldn't even make it through that part.
Yeah, she got tired of how repetitive it was. Like, oh, Hollow appears, go kill it. Hollow appears, go kill it. Hollow appears, go kill it. Yeah. Which, I mean, that is his job. But it's
not very compelling.
No, I have heard from a lot of people that it's just hard for them to get past that. But once they get into Soul Society, it just takes off running. And they're like, yeah, I'm all in 100%.
So as much as I would have liked to see all of Ichigo's friends get some time, I think speeding up to the Rukia rescue arc was the right call.
I agree with that.
Yeah, 100%.
But that's what happened. They were all going to have screen time. Maybe they were going to join the cast, but no time.
I mean, I feel like they all got a decent amount. It's just that Totsuki was kind of more profound and a little bit more fleshed out than Keigo was and stuff.
Like, even in some of the arcs, like when Totsuki like confronts Ichigo and stuff like that, like she was set up to be something, you know? Like she was on top of it. Like she was figuring shit out, you know, and she just... And even like they stalk her hard at certain parts, and it's like nothing comes from it. Nothing comes from it. There's no payoff there.
I remember back in the day when Ichigo and the gang go off to Wekomundo, and you see Totsuki and all the squad were watching, and they're confronted by Urahara. Everybody thought, "Oh, they're going to get some crazy training and show up later to fight Aizen." Never happened.
And instead, we got Karakura Riser, baby.
I was about to say.
One of the greatest fillers to ever bless Bleach. So, I mean, it wasn't all not a payoff, but the people working on the anime were like, hey, that thing that didn't pay off in the manga, we got you, boys. We got you.
We get to see, what's her face? No, what's the chick that's in love with Orihime? The little short redhead?
That's a deep one for me, dog. I ain't fucking know I'm gonna know that name.
I think it's Chizuru.
Chizuru, thank you. I think you're right. Yeah, it is Chizuru.
Okay. That's impressive, dog.
Yeah, I just remember, I'm like, what a random-ass character to have, and then just gone afterwards.
And she's like the love god or something like that, where it fills up, she goes apeshit. Yeah, she's great. That was a great little arc, 10 out of 10. So we go back to Wekomundo, and this is when we get the reveal that Nell is also there, because for whatever reason they only show Don DeChaka and Peche at first, and we get the world's most boring conversation ever. Bless Bleach. That is, they're thinking about how peaceful it is in Wekamund and they wish it was always like that. Fucking yuck. And then I don't know if you guys noticed, I saw it, but two people show up outside of Urahara's tent.
Yeah.
Pythies?
Yeah, I wonder who these characters
you're like,
Now, this question. Might be related to a rant that I just had, but yeah. Why the fuck are we bringing them back? What the fuck are they going to do?
They're going to save the day later?
Fucking boring. Snooze. I'd rather die than get saved by either of them.
I forget who it is. It's
Ruruka and the kid, right? Yukio, the guy that has the video game powers, which from the little that I know, Yukio, at least, is very relevant in Can't Fear Your Own World, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Speaking of that, for this arc, they set up base in the Valley of Screams.
Mm. Oh, that's where that's at?
I believe when Riruka sets up her room, they're in the Valley of Screams, and that's how they get into the palace later.
Interesting. Oh, okay.
Okay, interesting.
That's what canonizes it, so it comes back in Can't Fear Your Own World.
That makes a lot of sense, yeah.
And that's when we get Ganryu. He's making his grand return. So they show up outside of Urahara's tent because, you know, la-di-dee, la-di-da, I guess. And then we go back to the Serete where we get some of those beautiful fucking CG, like zooming through the fucking town, zipping through.
Oh, I know.
Fucking
it's gorgeous.
We get the announcement that the Serete is gone. Oh, my goodness. Nobody knows what happens. The whole fucking bubble part of it, the whole thing as a whole disappears, which they show outside of the bubble is just like a fucking nice grassy plain. Is that accurate?
I always remembered it being like a shitty desert.
Same. That's what I thought it was, because it's like even when Ichigo would try to come in through there.
Because that's where the Rukon was.
Yeah.
Maybe they astroturfed it since we last saw it. You know, they went around and threw a bunch of seeds out there in the desert.
They're like, let's make it look nice for once.
Let's up the property value outside. We'll start getting some houses out there. Even though they're not in the bubble, it'll still, you know, we put a house really cheap outside of the bubble of the Serete. Some people buy it. You know, all those people in Rukon District, fucking kick them out the bubble.
Exactly. There you go.
An Attack on Titan situation in the making, just, you know, thousands and thousands more years down.
You know, move close, you get to hang out with Jidambo.
There you go. What more can you ask for? Jidambo's the boy. He might attack the research and development department every once in a while, but
he was brainwashed. He didn't know. Come on.
It wasn't his fault.
Okay, exactly. Yeah. I can't slander Jidambo. We do love Jidambo. So it gets replaced with, I'm going to assume, is the Schlotten Brack or whatever the fuck that we talked about earlier. Is that correct, Pythies?
I can't remember. That's making me laugh.
Because it's, how would you pronounce this word? This is how I spelled it in my notes. B-E-R-E-I-C-H. How would you pronounce that?
Bright?
Bracht.
Oh, Bracht.
Well, where's the T coming at the end? Pythies, Bracht.
I don't know. I just watch a lot of German movies.
Okay. Yeah, sure. We'll add a T on the end of it. The Schotten Brack. So then we get a conversation between Yugram and, well, really Yugram is not a part of it. He's just standing there, as always. He's like a fucking gimp, now that I think about Yugram.
He's
like
the gimp.
Guy that's just washing you in the fucking corner, and that's how he gets off, dog. He just likes being next to the action, this fucking guy. So they ask Uryu what the Kaiser, Gizong?
He's talking about the song.
The song is?
Yeah.
And he says, yeah, of course I know it. And, you know, we've fucking heard this a bajillion gazillion times. If you've been online anywhere, you've seen people repeating this fucking until the end of time. But the confined Quincy King regains his pulse after 900 years, his mind after 90 years. God damn, I was having a stroke. And his strength after 9 years. And then he says that there's more to that song. And he basically repeats the whole fucking thing again, because why would you not do that? And but this time he ends it
narcissist
with, and the world in 9 days. So interesting. We saw it, I think, at the whole thing at the start of this series, and we had the first season, they did the whole actual song.
Yeah, right at the beginning.
The first thing we ever saw was them say that.
There you go. So not that much of a twist or a surprise to all of us, but I guess that's cool. And then here's an interesting point. The Stern Ritters are shown basically all walking together in like a big ass group, which is not something that we would have seen in the Wekamundo arc, by the way. The Espadas were all spread out over the fucking place. They wouldn't be packing up.
Survival
like
of the fittest for them.
Now, what if I throw this to you guys? That happens. Surprise Shinji Bankai. Boom. War's over.
Oh,
game,
my God.
Done. It's, and he's just
actually
instantly.
Yes. 100%.
Yeah, that would have been hilarious.
Because, like, that's one of the things, too, where I feel like, you know, I don't know. I want to say war theory, but I don't know if that's a thing. Why would you gather up? Because those are, like, your strong troops, right? None of the basic bitches were behind them. Those are your boys. They're all in one spot. What if you just fucking nuke the fuck out of them? It's like, or they get jumped. It's like, why would you gather them up like that? That's horrible. At least in the first invasion, they all came in different spots.
as from what I saw, they weren't actively out in the field. They were walking to go to the assault. This was just a shot to look cool.
Well, the shots look cool. Looks really stupid when you're going to war, I tell you what. So you get Shinji to jump right in, and it's fucking game over, dude. Instantly game over. Which, speaking of, Shinji's not one of the war potentials, huh?
Nope.
No.
I feel like in terms of a grand war, Shinji could potentially be a war potential.
I could see it, but I mean...
Because I feel like if you think about it right, here's what I'm thinking. Imagine with me 300, all right? The 300 Spartan troops were able to defeat a fuck ton of them by funneling them through a little cavern, like where they had to fight them head on.
Yeah.
Now, Shinji, you put him at a precise point such as that by himself. Nobody's getting through. If you try to put your whole army through this point where Shinji's at, Bankai, boom, done. Everybody except for, I guess, suppose one would survive. Is that how Bankai works? Does one person always survive at the end?
It just depends on how well that one person fights.
Okay. So, I mean, he could slim it down hard, you know? And it's like all you got to do, like, let's say, put him right next to the research and development department. Like, that one little, you make one little canal. I'm thinking also like Gildarts from Fairy Tale, where the whole city,
oh my God, just moves and adjusts.
And goes into one hallway. Boom. Funnel it at the end. Who's that at the end of the hallway? It's motherfucking Shinji just standing there. And he does Bankai.
Cue music.
Yeah. And he just does Bankai. Boom. Instantly kills everybody except for one grunt. And that's how you
can't everybody fly?
We put a roof on the hallway.
Can't Bambi make the roof explode?
Yeah.
No, because they wouldn't know what's happening until it's too late.
This was a surprise attack.
Yeah, a surprise attack by Shinji.
Shinji was just on alert the whole time. Yeah. They're like, it's happening. Go, cue it.
And they instantly hit the button. And they
cue the
like,
tunnel.
Shinji, you did nothing in the first invasion. You're going to sit right here until they come back. We know they're coming back. They announced they're coming back. You're going to sit your ass right here. And then also, here's another question. They basically transport the Soul Society out and switch it with their little castle or whatever. What happened if you were inside, like the research and development department, they were fine. So how does that work?
I've seen it more of as like an overlapping layers, not quite completely replacing it.
So they like basically they took the Soul Society, they took the castle, and they just went like copy your paste. Kid with Legos, just bah, 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 and then the whatever was on top of the other thing is now one building that's just a fucking whore.
Yeah, basically.
Okay, well that seems stupid.
So later on, you'll see Squad 4 is kind of fine.
Okay, of course that's awfully lucky that all of the healers are fine in there. That's good.
Gotta protect Isane.
Yeah, I guess. So whatever. On to the next part. So I am actually, you know what? That is the last part, actually, of the episode.
Yeah, I'm like,
we go on to the ending, and that's where we find out that episode 14 is titled The Last 9 Days, which I really like. I thought that was fantastic. And I had a couple notes on the ending where I just said the ending is good. Wouldn't listen to it again, though. That's what I put for the ending.
So you're like, okay, one and done, going to skip every single time.
Yeah. Opening, fantastic. Lots of things to see for my eyeballs there. The opening, no thank you. Or the ending, no thank you. No thank you.
Just it was stuff. Okay. That's all it is. It's okay.
And then we get one of the end quotes, the little poem thingies, where it says, freezing ice created from synergy quells the impatience of his burning blade. And that is the end of the episode.
That was a good episode.
It was a great first episode.
A fantastic first episode. Really good. And I feel like the sound design that they have been doing for the Stern Ritters, I think, is fucking fantastic. Like the scene where they were having Yuha-Baha and he was addressing his whole army. I felt like that was a war scene.
Yeah,
like
it was really well
done. The soundtrack was great. And they were like, you know, salute Yuha-Baha. And like they're fucking doing the trumpets and stuff. I was like, that is so good.
What's his name? Shiro?
Yeah, I saw an interview about, is Shiro the guy that does the music?
Yeah.
About him and what about somebody who works closely with the Bleach anime. I can't remember any of the names. Unfortunately, I'm a horrible host. But they were talking about how Shiro will basically, he just creates whatever he wants in terms of music. Mm-hmm. And then he sends it over. And then they're like, okay.
They're like, we like this. Well, the Quincy March song is fucking fantastic.
They just know like he's fucking incredible what he does. So it's like a lot of times he just makes fucking music and he sends it over. And
like,
they
here
don't
you go, guys.
Ask for it. They don't say anything. But like, we can fit that in. We can fit that in. And they just go for it because everything he creates is fucking good.
I mean, it's just fantastic. From the start, we get like the horns immediately.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what a better marching sound. You hear that in marching music right away. Yeah. That and like drums and everything.
It was super good. And it's like the first episode had very movie quality like aspects to me. And
yeah,
I felt
I agree.
Like, damn.
I agree
like,
with all
of
that.
This is that good shit. Like, this is how you know it's going to be fire. And then like that CG scene of when they're replacing the Soul Society with whatever the fuck Stern Ritter Castle is. Amazing. That was
usually
so cool.
You don't like CG in anime.
No, usually I'm a big hater on CG in anime. Big hater.
But it looked beautiful.
Yeah, looked beautiful, was smooth. A lot of times my big complaints is that they put CG in there and then they cut the frame rate to make it look more anime, air quotes, and it just looks fucking atrocious. Every single time that they do that, it's like, oh, well, that's how the frame rate is in anime.
No, just keep it fast.
Yeah, it's stupid. But they did an incredible job on this one. I think all the way across the board, the first episode was fucking amazing, and I'm looking forward to see, like we talked about a couple episodes ago, what the big, the pillar, the tent pole fights are going to be, I believe is what the correct terminology is, for, like, what are going to be, you know, the things that hold this season up. What's going to be the tentpole fight?
Yeah.
Like, because I think the obvious one, just judging by how little they've shown of it, is going to be that Kenpachi versus Grammy fight. I think.
I agree. I think it's going to be
that one. I think they have shown so little of anything Kenpachi that is going to be a fucking hit.
When his return, with now knowing his sword's name and everything, is going to be fucking insane.
Yeah. It's going to be fucking dope. I tweeted about this, and I forgot to mention it last time. I had a really funny story at the Anime Expo panel. So Katie, my girlfriend, she has only seen the Soul Society Rescue Arc and nothing else. She is one of those people.
I mean, her favorite characters are Chad and Zeraki.
Yeah. Yeah. Pisces, I think he knows already. So she's only seen that. And then she got, you know, and I relate to this because sometimes when I was doing One Piece a lot, sometimes you finish an arc and then it starts up another arc immediately. It's like, ooh, man, we're doing the same thing over again. Which, like, same thing is like building up new characters. You know, you're going to go through trials and tribulation where sometimes you need a little break. And that's where she was at. She's like, okay, like, I loved it all the way through, but, like, don't want to start another one again. So that's where she stopped. And we were in the panel, and the whole time she was just watching all of the trailers. She was listening to everything that was said. Zeraki Kenpachi was not mentioned a single time. Yeah, not mentioned a single fucking time. We get to that panel. She turns to me with these puppy eyes. Is Zeraki dead? I'm like, no. And she's like, are you lying? Are you lying? Because he wasn't in any of those. And I was like, well, they only showed clips. Well, why wasn't he in any of them? And I'm like, oh, I mean, fuck, you got like 30 goddamn characters.
I love her just questioning it.
And she's like, I'm going to Google it. I'm like, don't Google it. Just like, you know,
just
enjoy,
go and
like,
enjoy it afterwards.
And so she Googles it. And she Googles, is Kenpachi alive? And the first little, you know how like Google will do the drop down answers to the questions?
Yeah.
The first one that pops up is asking like, is Kenpachi dead or something like that? And the answer is a wiki about how Zeraki Kenpachi defeated the previous Kenpachi. She read that Zeraki Kenpachi died. And she was like, I knew it. And I was
like, you lied to me.
I had to tell her he's not dead. Like, he's fine. And she still doesn't believe me. She's like, I'm going to ask Jose. It's like, I don't know. Jose didn't tell you about the Aizen twist. Did not tell you about the
Aizen. I didn't want to break her heart at the time. Yeah. I thought it was hilarious that she's like, oh my God, the only captain that was cool and doing stuff, he's dead now. I'm like, yeah.
Oh. So she was very heartbroken by the lack of Zeraki Kenpachi. So she will like season two a lot. If she ever gets done watching fucking True Blood, on God. So, anything else, Pythi? You got any notes that we missed on the first episode?
Oh, yeah, I got a couple notes.
All right, hit it.
First thing I wrote was, man, Sam was not kidding about the sperm.
I
had the same thought.
It's a weird inclusion.
Then I wrote, all those hands reminded me of The Undertaker's WrestleMania entrance.
Can't relate. Don't watch WrestleMania.
Which
Jose?
One?
The one where he's walking out and there's a bunch of shadow hands grasping up from the ground.
Oh, okay, yes. That's one of the earlier ones.
I think he was fighting Brock Lesnar that year.
Oh,
I can't remember.
I can't remember the year, but yes, I agree with you.
So here's my note on the opening. When Yuha was on that helicopter, I started laughing my ass off because it reminded me of Seto Kaiba declaring battle.
Yes! Yeah, oh my God!
Totally.
I was like, someone else has to make this connection. I also thought of Transformers for some reason.
Okay, interesting.
The scene where Sam is supposed to hand over the cube to the people on the helicopter, and I'm like, oh, there's two people there. Yeah, it'd be funny if it gets shot down.
I laughed so hard I cried.
it is almost identical to that Kaiba scene. That is a great point.
Watch a lot of dual disc.
I wrote Basby be ballin'.
I know. I saw that. I was like, yo.
Okay. All right.
And then maybe it's because I was writing the notes and kind of not really paying attention. But when he said, everybody raise your crosses, nobody did anything.
Yeah, I did see
you
that.
Heard it.
Yeah, you heard it, but I'm like, okay, where are the crosses at?
Yeah, no, they were like, it's going to cost a little much to animate everybody raising their hands like that, so we'll just, you know, forget it. Don't worry about it.
There's a shot in the manga of them doing that.
Yeah, two. The budget was not there for that scene. Okay, you're gonna have to.
They had to use it elsewhere.
Crosses. Yeah,
they had to use it for that sick ass transition.
They had to use it for the sick ass opening. Is what they had to use all the money for.
Yeah. Hell yeah. So Yuha's speech to Uryu is anime only.
Okay. Yeah, the whole thing. Okay.
Not the whole thing, but just when he goes, "Do you wonder why you survived the Ashwallen?" He says a little bit, then he says, "Come with me," and then Uryu kind of talking to him after that is just anime only.
Okay, all right.
I just wrote, "Hell yeah, Asken is my boy."
Okay, yeah.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, he's awesome. Yeah, I remember liking him a lot.
Yeah, he's pretty funny.
And speaking of sound effects, the sound on his little death ball sounded good.
I was like, whoa, what the fuck? It's all bubbly and shit.
Yeah, and it was like distorted. It was that is some weird sound design on those effects.
I cannot wait for that fight.
Yeah, it's going to be sick. It's going to be really sick.
I just need to hear
and
the Sero thing.
A long fight. Yeah. I feel like we saw Asken for fucking ever in the manga.
I think it was multiple chapters. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he fought Urahara, Yoruichi's brother, Grimmjow, and I think someone else. Oh, he fought Ichigo for a bit.
Yeah he does fight Ichigo for a little bit.
He was in it a fuck ton.
All right, so when you were talking about all the Stern Raiders hanging out, them being pissed off just happened in a random hallway in the manga. And the Bambis weren't there. That scene with Bambietta happened after the hallway scene.
Because she walks by and then grabs one of the, like, he's almost posted as a guard, isn't he?
Yeah, she just grabs some dude and then that thing happens.
Okay. Well, I like this change way more because I feel like there's a lot of parallels that happen between the Espada and the Stern Raiders. So I like the distinction where, like, the Espadas were kind of, you know, because, like, Hollows, they were kind of like animals, you know, where it's like they, some of them formed little packs. For the most part, it was fucking dog eat dog. Like, we're going to the fucking top. We're going to be the apex predator. And I like that this one, they're obviously humans, so they actually interact and have, like, a little hangout room. I like this change a lot.
Yeah, it makes me feel more like a unit. I thought we'd spend more time with them, but, you know, we're going right to the invasion. Let's see. In the manga, Orihime had poisoned Shad with a bad potato.
Okay. Of course.
Yeah. Classic Orihime cooking.
And it is here that they meet Grimmjow.
Like, this is where we get the reveal?
No, there's a mysterious person.
Oh.
Who could this be?
Because the reveal is way later when they meet Ichigo back up again.
Yeah, but they don't know who it is yet.
Interesting. Okay, so we never... Did we... Because we, even in the manga, we got the original tease, though. Somebody being outside of the Urahara tent, right?
I'm pretty sure you see his abs.
Okay. Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Let's see. I wasn't really paying attention. I was still writing my notes. When they were communicating, did they show what they were communicating through?
No, they did not. They just referred to it as the Pero or the Pero, whatever the fuck it was. That's what I was wondering. I don't know what the fuck that is.
Okay, are you familiar with Dragon Quest?
Nope. I know of Dragon Quest. I don't know anything about it.
Do you know what the slime is? It looks like a little blue raindrop.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's basically that with a smiley face and it has wings, and that's what's projecting the screen.
Okay, that's cool.
Oh, okay.
And this is just something someone mentioned on Twitter. When Rukia and Renji are staring down and they're screaming, someone says, "Oh, that's what their O faces look like."
There you go. That's how Ichigo was born or created.
That's how they knew they were in love.
They cut a scene from the manga with Ichigo's family.
Did they?
Yeah. Yuzu is preparing dinner, and Ishin's like, "Yeah, I'll come down after I get rid of this annoying patient." And Karin's like, "I'll be there after I beat this boss," and then that's it.
So they do show one scene of them, and
show them. Yeah, but it's not.
They don't show the whole actual thing, but they do show them having dinner together.
Yeah. Let's see. They cut the scene where Renji and Rukia are remembering Senjumaro measuring them for their uniforms.
Okay.
I mean, she doesn't really do anything else, right?
That's cute, though.
Yeah, she doesn't. So we missed the part where she threatens to cut off Renji's penis. And I wrote, Keigo's a bro. He's about to throw hands.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was.
All of Ichigo's OG friends are like, they ride or die, but they barely fucking see Ichigo. So,
like, it is impulsive.
That impactful. Yeah.
It's impulsive. You shouldn't shoot the messenger, but still, he's mad for his friend. And I appreciated that.
Which Shinsui's not mad about it either. He's like, all right, yeah, fair.
He like, if he had to take one on the chin, he'd take it.
Yep.
All right, so when he gave them the soul tickets, do you remember what he was actually giving those soul tickets for, where that would take them?
No.
So do you remember at the very beginning of Can't Fear Your Own World, who becomes the new Soul King?
Oh, my God.
Okay, Yuha-Baha.
Yep. So, and they mentioned, well, we might have had to shove Ichigo in there if shit went really bad. So this isn't, Ichigo might have to stay in Soul Society, because when they die, they could just see him again. He was giving them tickets in case Ichigo had to go be the new Soul King.
Jesus, that's dark. Wow. That's dark to think about.
Yeah.
That's almost like an Attack on Titan. Like,
that's a hard twist there.
Like when, who's the girl that does the kicks in Attack on Titan? When she crystallized?
Annie
and Armin would go and visit Annie all the time. That's almost it would have been that they were in.
Ichigo would never be able to move.
Except Ichigo's deformed corpse is fucking stretched all over the fucking little crystal thing. Ugh, ugh.
Yeah, so that would have been super fucked up. Then, you know, we see Riruka and Yukio.
Hate them both.
And the Kaiser Gesang just translates into the King's Hymn.
Okay, that's cool.
And Kaiser is just the word for Caesar.
Oh, so it's basically king.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, Caesar was a name.
Well, I thought Caesar was also a title for a king.
It became the title after a bunch of dudes named Caesar were emperor for that long. 12 of them, to be exact.
Yeah, the 12 Caesars.
And they were like, yeah, we're just going to call the new guy Caesar, even if he's not a Caesar.
Man, didn't know I'd be learning history on this podcast. Okay.
You're talking to me.
This is true. The lore dump.
The lore master, please refer to the right
title. Sorry.
Do you? Let's see. How long do you got? You want to go on the history of the 12 Caesars? I got all night.
maybe another episode. You know, it's all right.
And that's all my notes.
Okay. Oh, that wasn't nice. So bad.
That was wrapped
so
up
we pretty
quick.
Much covered everything that we need to do. I did not see. They don't do previews for the next episode. They only show the title. Mm-hmm. So we don't really know. Could be anything that's going in the next episode. It's obviously. Yeah, it's gonna be full invasion stuff. So it's gonna be a fucking good episode. I don't know if we will see Ichigo again before he makes his full on appearance.
I don't think so. I think we're gonna skip Ichigo for like an episode or two and then probably bounce back and forth.
You think only an episode or two?
I think so.
Okay.
I think longer.
Longer? What if we see him just now and then right at the end, like Sam said, when he's invading, or not invading, but shows up for Soul Society?
Well, first off, I said that.
Yeah,
you said that's that. True. Sorry.
I said the Ichigo fight was going to be the end.
I think we will see him maybe like 3/4 of the way through.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
That's a good idea. Anything past half.
Because there is a shot where they're like, by the way, the invasion's already happened. You need to get going. And so Ichigo is on the way, but then more fights still go.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So we won't see him for a long time is all that means. You know, halfway through is like 6 or 7 weeks from now.
I was skipping through my book, and this is one of those 3-in-1s. And you see him at the beginning, and then it's just fights.
Hell yeah. It's going to be fucking good.
The bread and butter.
That's going to be real good. So I feel like this season is going to be super actiony. Super, super actiony.
Yeah, absolutely. Next season, a little less actiony.
Yeah, this will probably be the most action of all 4 seasons. How far in between Rukia, Rinji, and Byakuya returning do we get Ichigo then after?
I feel like it's not too long after.
Not too long. They still have to do the Zaraki fight.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I think that's going to be the big fight of the season. Like, period. I think the Zaraki fight is going to take up a lot. At least I would say a 2-episoder for sure.
Yeah, I agree. Because they went through a lot of Unohana's fight with him too real quick.
Yeah.
I mean, he cuts space. Itself.
Yeah.
So it could be a cool one. You know, fuck it. You could cut space in the budget and in the film, just send it. I don't think there's anything else that I can think of on top of this. We have a couple of stuff like to look forward to. Like we mentioned last episode, the Soul King's name being mentioned. It's like gonna be like bingo. Just keep looking for that and see if that comes up. Maybe we'll get a backstory. I don't know if we've ever had backstory onto what or who the Soul King is, Pythes.
Yeah, but that's Can't Fear Your Own World spoilers.
Okay. But they've, for another time, I would then. Say, you know, they've set up a couple of things for Can't Fear Your Own World. So yep. I could see them potentially putting that in here.
I'd be down for that. This is deep lore.
I'm okay with that.
That would be cool. Maybe they'll do it as one of the fucking title cards right in the middle. So since that's how
they
like
yeah, they're
just
going to write it off.
Just throw it right fucking in there, and then we'll just talk about it later. Anyways, killer fucking first episode. I think we covered it. Let us know in the comments, tweet at us, whatever it is, what you guys thought of episode one. I've seen nothing but positive things about it so far. I hope it stays that way all the way through. I mean, I don't think we'll get any truly negative responses to Bleach until it's been a little bit, because Bleach is so
hype right now.
Yeah, hype, and I was gonna say the It Show. It's the It Show right now.
Oh, it's like that. It's a comeback story right now.
And we have this and Jujutsu Kaisen going on at the same time. Which,
dude,
I
heard
fucking,
nobody talking about Jujutsu Kaisen.
Hey, let me talk about it right now. Fantastic. The animation is insane. Mappa's killing
it. So it's setting up Shibuya, right?
Yeah. So there's only going to be 5 episodes of this arc, like, and it's going to be a 24 episoder.
Oh my god!
And it's only five Holy of them. Shit. Only 5 of them is going to be the flashback that's happening
with the Gojo flashback,
and the rest
right?
Is Shibuya. Yeah.
Oh my god! I'm so excited for that.
It's
oh my
be
god!
Fucking good.
I've read that, and I did not put my phone down.
Really,
I was just,
really,
I read
really
the whole
good.
Thing. I was like, I'm not going to spoil it.
Which,
I am an anime only, so I have no idea what's happening, but you're getting me excited.
Which, dare I say, I think the Shibuya arc is better than the Invasion arc in Bleach, Thousand Year Blood War. So,
on a Bleach podcast?
Yeah,
Sam?
I'll say it, dog. I'll say it. I think...
Pythies, it's gnarly.
And I think I can say that because Kubo, and I don't know how you pronounce his name, I'm going to say Gigi, as the author of Jujutsu Kaisen, they're buddies, IRL. All right, they're buddies. They respect each other. So I can say compliments to that one.
All right. I'll watch it when it's done.
There you go. If you binge watch it, it's going to be a 10 out of 10 experience.
Yeah, I'm
going to
wait till it's all done.
I guarantee. Yeah,
I've read it, so I know what's going
to
happen. But
I'm
going
to see if I get my girlfriend to do that, because she wants to watch it week to week, but the episodes go so fast.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, so fast.
It's hard to remember some little bits of it, and then they do drop a lot of knowledge throughout that whole arc.
There's some anime that I think are really good, like, week to week. I would argue Bleach is really good week to week. I have a good time watching Bleach week to week, because I feel like the pacing in Bleach, this is going to be a weird comparison, it's almost Game of Thrones-esque right now, where we jump to a lot of different characters in a lot of different spots, and we're basically following these different storylines as they're converging into the big Westeros arc.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So I think that is a good watch. And Bleach is something where there is such a big community online where watching it week to week is almost like a must, you know, or else you're going to get it spoiled. You're
exactly.
Be part of the conversation, you're going to be left out. Where something like Jujutsu Kaisen does have a big following, is super popular, but I feel like you could get away with not having it spoiled and waiting for it to be done.
I mean, that's what I do with Demon Slayer.
Yeah.
I literally waited and I binge watched it over 2 days.
Yeah. I am 99.9% of the time a binge watcher. That's how I like to enjoy my anime. I like to let it finish, then I binge watch it, because, one, my memory's horrible. Two, I like to watch it on my time, and I like to be able to, like, hey, if that was a banger episode, I want to see what happens next.
Exactly. Boom. Enjoy it.
Yeah. Which sometimes it sucks with the way seasonal anime is. You know, you got to wait a fucking year when you get done with it. But that's just the nature of the beast at that point. It's good. It's really, really good. And this Bleach season so far, obviously only episode one, but I think if all the episodes are going to be like episode one, I think we have a lot to look forward to.
Except for me.
All right. I think that's good. Don't forget, guys, we are giving away these posters. Jose, you hold up a poster. I'm going to hold up a badge. We're giving away sets, so you can win a poster and a badge. These are Anime Expo exclusives. They're probably giving away at Comic-Con if you're going to go. So, I mean, if you're going to Comic-Con, fuck you. if you want to win them, make sure you guys like, subscribe, and leave a comment on this video. We also have another chance to win them if you follow us on Twitter, you follow us on Threads, and then I'm going to go ahead and make an Instagram post with, I forgot to do it for the last episode, but I'll post all of my Bleach-related pictures from Anime Expo. Go ahead and leave a comment on there, and we will pick a winner from each platform. We'll hand them out to you guys. Thank you guys so much for watching. Thank you guys so much for listening. We will catch you guys next week for episode 2. To my knowledge, there's no delays. There's not going to be any breaks, so it should be 13 weeks straight of Bleach, Thousand Year World War II. So we will see you guys next time. Bye, everybody.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.